read a scripture from Psalm 8, which is not our lesson this morning, but it is a good passage of scripture. So when you turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, I think Brother Dan avoided a section of scripture that deals with fasting. And no wonder this is something that our culture struggles with. When you bring up the term fasting, we immediately, even myself, we are a generation of people that are accustomed to fast food living. And I myself am not comfortable with talking about fasting because it is so challenging for us. We are used to getting what we want here and now. And so no wonder we avoid it at all costs possible, because in our section of the world, fasting is not a practice that all of us are familiar with. We try to avoid it, and we try to... What's the first thing you hear when someone brings up fasting today in our part of the world? Well, it's not a command. It's not an obligation that we have to do it. We look for an excuse. And so we immediately look for a way out when fasting is brought up in conversation. And why is this the case? Because we are not used to it. There are parts of the world, which I know that we understand completely, but there are parts of the world when you talk to them about how we eat and how we get our food, they are blown away by how we have meals. And what do I mean by that? If you go to certain parts of our world and you try to convey, through a translator probably, but you try to convey to someone the idea of a restaurant, they're going to have no earthly idea on what you're talking about. And they're going to try to ask questions and figure out, if you tell them that you go to a place and you sit down, someone else kills a cow or a chicken before you get there, they have the food prepared, and then as you sit down, someone brings the food to your table, they're going to have no earthly idea of what you're speaking of. That is a foreign concept to them. But when you bring up the idea of not having food, going days without eating and going hungry, they're going to be keenly familiar with that because they have to go out and get their meals. So in our section of the world, we can get trapped in this bubble and this idea that, yeah, we don't fast because, man, fast food places are on every corner. Restaurants are... Our refrigerators at home are filled with what? Food. And if you go to someone's house and you open up the refrigerator and it's empty, you're concerned, right? Because we're not used to seeing an empty refrigerator. And when our refrigerator begins to not be filled up with food, we get concerned. We immediately have to go to the grocery store. And so our way of thinking is it can be disrupted and be cloudy at times when we talk about our religious practices. So in this section of scripture, we are addressing our righteous acts. During this time, the scribes and Pharisees had muddied the water when it comes to religious activities. They had subverted the truth, they had changed God's word, and they had made it a religious activity that fit man's ideas or man's thoughts. And so they had really changed what God had taught about religious activities. So verses 21 through 48, Jesus corrects false teaching. Now he's correcting our conduct, our actions. And what was the one we talked about first? Giving. So we want to have a form or way of giving that is correct and acceptable to God. It's not to be seen. It's not to make a show of our Christianity. It's not to get noticed by individuals. What was the last one we talked about? Prayer. What is your motivation? What is your intention when it comes to prayer? Do you pray to be seen by men? Do you give those long prayers so individuals hear you and they go, oh man, he is so religious, he's so committed to God? And then this last one, this third one, this activity, fasting. Again, all of us, we take a back seat, and especially this is a hard teaching on a Sunday, because what is everyone planning on doing after service? You're going, man, couldn't we talk about this on a Wednesday night or some other time? It has to be on Sunday when all of us plan on going out to eat. Yes, this can be extremely uncomfortable for us. But before we read the Matthew 6, 16 through 18, let me share this with you. Just some food for thought here for a moment. In your Bible, the concept, the word fasting, it takes up more pages of ink in your New Testament than does repentance and confession. Fasting takes up more ink in your Bible than baptism and the Lord's Supper. But which do you hear more about? All of those other biblical concepts. We are afraid, and I think we are accustomed to talking about fasting, because what? We might have to go and actually do it. We might actually have to practice this at some point. And so when we're discussing this, we grow uncomfortable. But if you do choose to fast, which I think you should, because Jesus goes with the assumption you are going to do this. Let's read the text, Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Moreover, notice this first. When you fast, that's just like the giving, that's just like the praying. When you give, it's expected. You're going to do this. If you call yourself a Christian, you will give. When you pray, whenever you pray, when you do this, it's an expectation. It's an assumption that you're going to do this. When you fast, ask yourself personally. Fasting can be abstaining from food. You can still have liquid or water. But ask yourself personally, when's the last time you fasted? For religious purposes. When's the last time you fasted? Okay, let's back up a little bit. When's the last time you prayed? You can list that throughout the... When's the last time you were giving or you gave? And you can list those things. Why is it when we come to fasting, man, we just run and hide? We get so scared of this because we know how challenging and difficult it can be. Because what does fasting really do for you? And some of you are going, I haven't fasted in a long time. I forgot completely what happens when I fast. When you go on a 2 to 3 day to a week or 2 week fast, your body goes through a lot of conflict, a lot of struggle. And so what you find is a lot of emotions come out of you. You really get to see who you are in the mirror. Is food... Is this physical earth? Is it your God? Or are you a spiritual being who feeds off of the spiritual nourishment? If you don't know the answer to that question, fasting is a great way to find out. Fasting is a great way to find out where you sit spiritually. How dedicated to God am I? Well, do I fast? So when we fast, are we fasting for God, or do we fast for the applause of man? Do you fast for God, or do you fast for the applause? Because that's what Jesus is addressing. He's already assuming you're going to do this. If you're a Christian, you are practicing this. Now he moves on. He says, when you do it for God. Do not do it for the applause of man. So let's look at a few occasions where individuals fasted in the Bible. A lot of the prophets talk about fasting. Isaiah 58, he addresses how not to fast. People were fasting, and with their fasting, they're just going immediately back to their worldly pleasures. So it's addressed throughout all of the Bible. The Old Testament prophets talked about it. David did it when he lost his son. Remember, before the child died, what did David do? He fasted for 3 days and he prayed. So we see that there are times and occasions, which we'll address here in a moment, for fasting. There's a need for fasting, so people fasted. Notice this in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. So just go over a couple accounts in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, in contending with the devil, notice what he did first. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. So Jesus is teaching us how to fully rely upon God. What is the temptation the devil gives first? So when you go on in the passage, look at verse 3. So the devil shows up to him and he says, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And look at Jesus' response. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, is that the teaching in modern day America? Jesus is showing us, man, there's necessity. There is spiritual development. It is a good practice to fast because it shows where your allegiance and reliance is. Do you rely and are you aligned with the world or with God? Do you depend on food for your survival? Or do you know and understand, no, there's more to this? And if you're at a place where you go, man, I'm just not there yet, it's okay. Now you have the correct information. Now you know what you need to begin to practice, and you know what you need to feed yourself upon. Look at John chapter 4 now. John chapter 4. And I encourage you to read the entire context. Jesus has to go through Samaria, and he has to go through there to meet this woman. If you read the text, that's his main purpose for going up and talking with this woman. It's not that he just ran across her and he just happened to be there at the same time of day in the heat of the day where this woman arrives at this well. So Jesus has this conversation, which is great for evangelism. It teaches us, we build those relationships, we build a common interest with those people of the world. We develop those relationships through conversation, through dialogue, and that's the main objective because we want to win souls. So this is a good text for that. So when you read through this conversation, this evangelism of Jesus with the woman at the well of Samaria, when you read this, are you noticing that Jesus is eating? And you go, no. I don't see that in the text. Because when you go back through it and you read John chapter 4, you need to notice Jesus is having a meal during this time. He's eating. Look what he says. Go to verse 30. Let's go back to verse 27. So Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. She's full of sin. Jesus finally gets her to the point where she sees her need for the Savior. Then she goes and evangelizes a whole community. During this time, the disciples leave and they go get food in the market. So they go get food in the market, and here they come back, and look at verse 27. And at this point, his disciples came and they're marveling. They're going, he's talking with a woman, a Samaritan woman. What is he doing? Jesus is eating. He's eating. That whole conversation with that woman was food, spiritual nourishment, and the disciples can't see it. They don't understand it. It's way over their head. No, food is bread. Food is food. Food is McDonald's, and it's a number 6 with a sweet tea and sweet and sour sauce. That's food to me. And Jesus says, no, it's not. Those who feed off that food will die. They won't get eternal life. Why do you seek, or what do you seek? Why are you talking with her? Verse 28. The woman left the water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man. So she goes and she's evangelizing. Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came to him. So people come to talk to him. In the meantime, verse 31, this is what I want you to see. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. There's food here. We got bread. You need to eat this physical food for physical nourishment. Look what Jesus said. I have food to eat. I just had a full meal, and you guys completely missed it. I'm full. I'm satisfied. I was hungry, and I ate. Well, look at verse 32. I have food to eat of which you do not know. Verse 33, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I'm feeding off of the spiritual nourishment that's doing the will of the Father. So when we fast from our physical food, when we fast from McDonald's or from grandma's cooking, whatever it is, what we begin to align ourselves with is God's will. And we get to see truly how committed we are to him. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, from his word. Are you feeding on his word? We sing a song about that. Take time to be holy. Take time to be different and separate from this world. How can you take time to do it? Fast. Fast. Prophets did it. Jesus did it. The early church did it. Acts chapter 13, before they send Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey, the church fasted and they prayed together and they laid hands on them, and they saw the importance that when you dive into the service and the work of the Lord, man, you're going to need complete reliance and dependence upon God. Fasting is a tool to help you get there. So should we fast today? Yes, I think we have plenty of good examples of why we should fast. Am I going to bind this on you? No. Am I going to bind prayer on you? No. Am I going to bind giving on you and say you have to give? No. But with that, if you call yourself a Christian, you identify as a follower of Jesus, you will do those things. And that's from the scriptures. That's God saying, this is what my people do. This is what they practice. What are some reasons to fast? Times of grief and sorrow. To gain self-control. Israel fasted in times of war. David fasted when someone was sick. Ahab, Daniel fasted, seeking God's forgiveness. Ezra fasted, seeking God's protection and provisions. Jesus fasted before he went into this battle with the devil in the wilderness. The church of Antioch fasted when they sent those men out on their missionary journey. We have plenty of reasons and occasions that we should be fasting. We should be praying. We should be giving. That's how we identify ourselves with those we come in contact with the world. That's what Christians do. That's when we're appointing elders. Did the church, before you appointed elders, and this, you can ask this to yourself personally, before elders were appointed, did the congregation or individuals in the congregation decide, I'm going to fast before we make this decision? Well, why not? The first century church did. We should do those things as well. Now, with that said, again, the assumption you will fast, you will find a way to align yourself with God's will, you will feed off of the spiritual nourishment that God gives from His Word. Jesus says back in Matthew chapter 6, and this is what He's been addressing the whole time, the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites." And these hypocrites are the scribes and Pharisees. These individuals were in it for the show. They're actors. They're pseudo-Christians. They're fake. They're not in it for God. They have the wrong motivations. So these individuals were fasting, and they were actually, if you read some background information, and it says it here in the text, but I think we can easily miss it. This is how they were acting. This is how they were fake. So you were going to see these scribes and Pharisees. They're in public. They want people to take notice of them. That's why when they give, they sound the trumpet. That's why when they're praying, they want people to see how religious they are, and they'll probably start speaking in tongues. Now when they're fasting, they actually have a sad look upon their face. So they droop their face, and they look what it says next. So with a sad countenance, that's their facial expression, they disfigure their faces. Now, some have said they even go so far as to throw dirt on their face. So they disfigure their face, they make a gloomy look, and they want people to go, "Oh man, look at them, something's wrong. Well, what are you up to?" "Well, I'm fasting." "Oh man, they're so devoted to God and to their religious activities. These people are so committed to Him." And that's what they want. That's what they're in it for. So they have a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. They want the applause from the people. "Great job. Look how dedicated you are." So they put on a performance, they bow before the crowd, and they say, "Thank you. I've gotten exactly what I wanted from you. I wanted your praise. I wanted your applause. I wanted your approval." And the whole time, Jesus is teaching us, what about God? How? You forgot God in all this. So you actually did something that I wanted you to do, but you did it for the people, and you didn't do it for spiritual reasons. And the list that I gave you just a moment ago, we have plenty of reasons to fast, but we don't do it. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Verse 17. "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you often and now tell you, even crying." So the apostle's weeping and he's crying. Well, what's wrong, Paul? "These individuals are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is going to be destruction, whose God is their stomach." It's their belly. They're not dedicated. They're not committed to God. They completely depend on some fast food restaurant for their survival. Well, it will help you live here on this earth, but it will not help you survive in the spiritual realm. It will not help you to live spiritually and like a Christian. The solution to all this, Matthew 6, again, verse 17, Jesus is going to share with us. Matthew 6 and verse 17, so we had the problem. "But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting." What is Jesus telling us in verse 17 and 18? Go about your life as normal. Outwardly, people are going to see you and they're going to go, man, he's just as happy as he was yesterday. He's just as active and energetic as he was the day before or the week before. There's no change in him. And he says, anoint your head and wash your face. In their climate, in their region of the world, your skin is going to crack and it's going to dry up. And so they're going to need, for modern day application, they're going to need lotion. And individuals who want to appear as though they're suffering and they want people to acknowledge it, they're going to enhance that and they're going to have their skin crack, put on that gloomy face. They're not going to wash themselves with oil. They're not going to put on the lotion. They're not going to have themselves look healthy. So outwardly, Christians, Jesus says, just go about your business as normal. Live your normal life. Put on the lotion. Look healthy. Look happy. But inwardly, you're aligning yourself with God. You're showing yourself, I'm fully dependent upon Him. And your Father, who takes note of that spiritual practice inwardly, He's the one that can reward you eternally. God knows exactly what's taking place. So instead of trying to get the applause of men, let's realize that it's actually God who's in the audience, and He's the one that can give us the reward. He can give us the praise and the applause for this spiritual activity. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, and we'll begin to close this up. Matthew 9, verses 14 through 17. Further reasons for fasting. The disciples came, disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to him, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine in old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Jesus is teaching us, look for those occasions to fast. There's a time when we are spiritually connected with Jesus, but we're physically not there with Him. Jesus is in heaven, we are on earth. This is a time when Jesus expects us and assumes we will be fasting. Find those correct occasions to feed off of the spiritual nourishment that God gives us. Realize that when you practice your giving, your praying, and your fasting, it's not for show. It's not for the praise of men. And honestly, when we dive into this closing, these are my closing remarks. If we are really honest with ourselves, honest, and we search deep and we do a deep self-examination, don't we all struggle with this? Doesn't everyone fight with this? Now, it may not be your employer that you're trying to get praise from. It may not even be your spouse. It may be your employer, and it may be your spouse. You have to figure out who it is in your life who you're seeking approval from. Because all of us, I think it's built within us, we all want people to praise us and give us that applause for things we do. And I think God placed that within us so we would ultimately turn it from not seeking the applause from one another, but from Him. We want to please God. We don't want to please each other. We want to please God first. And that's what Jesus is teaching us through this section of Scripture. The scribes and Pharisees, they just wanted to make people happy. They wanted people to notice them and tell them, man, you did a great job. Man, you're really doing good. Oh, you're so strong. Oh, you're so smart. That's what they were after. And God says, that's the wrong intent. When you practice your Christianity, do it to please God. Do it for His applause. And on the day of judgment, Jesus is going to look at His followers, and He's going to say, Well done, good and faithful servant. You did exactly what I asked you to do, and you did it for the right reasons. You and I can't hide from God. God sees what's going on. God sees everything in our life. And this is what he says. At the end of verse 18. So that you do not appear to be fasting, to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Seek to please God and not man. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to follow God's plan of redemption. There is a pattern in which that we can follow, that we can be saved. That's Romans 16, 17, and 18. There is a specific way that we need to follow to receive forgiveness of sins. Then we live that life after the pattern of Jesus. We follow his example. If you're a Christian who's here and this has been real challenging for you, well, commit yourself to God. You can do that from where you are at home or in the pew and say, I'm really going to dedicate myself to him. I'm really going to make it a concerted effort to build my life on God. And you want to start that journey as having help from your church family and the prayers from them. Well, we would love for you to come forward. Maybe you're struggling with something and you need prayers from the church. And you want us to pray for you and with you. You have an opportunity to come forward as we stand and we sing.